In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please. Well, my friends, Happy New Year. I was sorry not to be with you last Sunday as I was unexpectedly in quarantine after a possible exposure to COVID-19, something I know probably many of you know something about, but I'm glad to be back and I'm glad to be healthy and I'm glad to be starting a new year here with all of you. As we do each year on this first Sunday after the Epiphany, joining with those crowds streaming out into the wilderness to the very banks of the Jordan River to find John baptizing and Jesus himself wading into the water and the heavens torn apart and the dove descend and that voice from heaven proclaim, "You are my son, the beloved," the first of the manifestations of Jesus' divinity that mark this Epiphany season. There's something comforting, I think, about this familiar story, which we hear each year on this Sunday, and especially so, I think, this year, when so much seems unfamiliar and unpredictable, unsettled and uncertain. Who could have imagined at the start of this past week that COVID would largely be knocked out of the news? The milestone of over 4,000 deaths per day scarcely mentioned because of an armed insurrection at the Capitol. I don't mean to be flip, but I didn't have that on my bingo card, and I bet you didn't either. It's been a crazy week. And obviously our prayers continue for peace, for understanding and reconciliation in our country, for justice, for the integrity of our democracy, for the peaceful transfer of power. It's been a crazy week, in a crazy month, in a crazy year. So yeah, there's something comforting about this familiar story of Jesus's baptism. But I can also imagine that it might strike some of you as a little removed. It might not seem immediately related or relatable given the swirl right now in our world. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it is exactly the story that we need to hear this day. For the story of Jesus' baptism is a story all about solidarity, spirit, and strength. Solidarity, spirit, and strength. Three things we need right now. First, solidarity. Jesus' baptism is a story that proclaims a remarkable truth, which is that God stands in solidarity with us. Jesus has no need of a baptism of repentance, like those crowds flocking to see John, as the sinless Son of God, as the incarnate second person of the Trinity. He has no need of that. But he chooses, nevertheless, to wade into those waters with us. Like the incarnation itself, he chooses solidarity with us. We think of water primarily as a sign of new life and new possibility, and it is, of course, all of those things. But water also symbolizes danger and threat, chaos, and even death itself. Think of that formless void, the face of the deep that we heard about at the beginning of Genesis. Think about the flood of Noah. Think about those storms that would arise on the Sea of Galilee, the disciples terrified in their boats. Jesus' baptism wasn't just a nice, polite sprinkling of water on a baby in a pretty gown. It was a grown man wading into the waters. Most of the traditional icons of the scene depict the waters rising up to his very neck as if to drown him, overwhelm him. Jesus' baptism is first and foremost about solidarity with us. In the person of Jesus, God chooses for love's sake to wade into those waters of chaos with us. In Jesus, God chooses to wade into the choppy waters of life with us. Jesus' life and Jesus' death show us that there's no place that God won't go with us. And when we're overwhelmed, all we have to do is to remember that truth. There's a story about Martin Luther clergy love to tell to illustrate this point. It may well be apocryphal, but it's too good not to be true. It's said that when Martin Luther got overwhelmed, and it's worth noting that in the 16th century, with plague and unrest, there was plenty to be overwhelmed about then too. When Luther got overwhelmed, it said, he would find water and dip his hand in it and make the sign of the cross with it and say to himself, "But I am baptized. But I am baptized, and if I have been baptized, I have the promise that I shall be saved." When we feel up to our necks in the waters of life, we must remember that promise of baptism, that God stands in solidarity with us there and grabs us by the hand and sees us through. Second, Jesus' baptism is a story that reminds us that baptism is all about the gift of the Spirit. When Jesus comes up out of those waters and the heavens are torn apart and the dove descends, it is that Holy Spirit of God that falls afresh on him. And it's the voice of the Father that proclaims, "You are my son." This is true in each of our baptisms as well. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God names us as his beloved daughters and sons. I love that second reading we heard from the Acts of the Apostles, that story of the earliest Christians. I love how some followers of Jesus are continuing to practice John's baptism of repentance. And others say, Paul says, wait, there's so much more. It's not just about your repentance. It's not just about you trying harder. It's not just about you turning toward God. It's about God turning to you. It's about the gift, unearned gift of the Holy Spirit. It's about God equipping you with a power beyond yourself to do more than you could ask or imagine. In my letter to the parish this week, I talked a little about how overwhelming it might feel to try to offer a Christ-like response to the chaos of our world right now. I talked about how we're called to show a better way, speaking the truth and enacting justice and standing with the marginalized and extending our hand in reconciliation. I talked about how we're called to show people Jesus and how crazy hard that can be sometimes. But today's epistle reminds us that we don't have to do any of that on our own. The high calling of our baptisms, those vows and promises which we are about to renew this day, they're not something we have to accomplish under our own steam or by our own lights. We do it all with God's help. We're given the Holy Spirit, God's strength and wisdom and courage and love that is beyond us and beyond anything we could muster ourselves. God gives us what we need to do the work he calls us to do. Which, of course, leads us to that third S, strength. God stands in solidarity with us. God gives us the Holy Spirit, and God gives us the strength to persevere, to remain faithful to that calling. Jesus leaves his own baptism for a period of 40 days of tempting in the wilderness, and then begins his public ministry of proclaiming that the reign of God has begun, the reign of God has come near, and all things are being made new. It's a ministry that will lead him to his own death at the hands of those frightened by that message. But his baptism gives him the strength for that wilderness. It gives him the strength for that ministry. It gives him the strength to go even to the cross for us. So too for us. In our baptism, we find the wellspring of spiritual strength. We find living water that will see us through. I want to leave you with a story. A few years ago, Dan and I made our first pilgrimage to the Holy Land. It was 2014, and while we were there, war broke out between Israel and Gaza. It was, to say the least, a little tense to be in Israel right then. But while we were there, we managed to visit two of the sites that commemorate this baptism of Jesus. One was up near the Sea of Galilee, fairly far from any conflict, funded by American evangelicals. It's a huge complex. It's a little like going to Disney World. There's a big gift shop. There are TVs on the walls that replay scenes of earlier baptisms. You can buy the picture of your baptism like buying the picture of you going over the roller coaster at Disney World. The other site was a little more off the beaten path. To get there, we had to drive south from the Sea of Galilee into the West Bank, that land between Israel and Jordan promised to the people of Palestine. We nearly missed the turn because there were no big signs, there were no tour buses. But we found it. We drove down toward the Jordan River, which forms that border with Jordan, and we quickly realized as we drove to that river that there were high fences on both sides, topped with barbed wire, and signs all the way down to the river warning of landmines on either side. There were no tour buses because the site had only been reopened just a few years before. Before that, it had spent decades as no man's land. On the Israeli side of the river, there was a nice new picnic shed. On the Jordanian side, wizened, ancient churches. Soldiers standing guard on both sides, large guns visible to all. It was those ancient churches that proclaimed, that reminded us that this unlikely site, this site marred by human sin, is precisely where Jesus went into those waters. In our good tastes, we might turn up our nose at the first, at the tackiness of it all. But the truth of us, most of us want our faith, most of us want our lives to be a little like that, neat and tidy and orderly and clean and maybe even a little shiny. But Jesus wasn't baptized into that world just as we don't get to live there. He comes into the brokenness and the pain of the world as it is, giving us the promise of solidarity, the gift of the Spirit, and strength for the work he gives us to do. He gets in up to his neck for love of us and grabs us by the hand to lead us through to a better future. My friends, this week reminded us that the world is not yet the world God would have it be. So let's stand and renew our baptismal vows and claim that high calling to which we have been called in solidarity, guided by the Spirit, and with strength from above. Amen.